On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, Todd's back from the YMCA to tell us all about the grand opening and what's coming up next. Caroline Upton talks about the 80-mile ultra marathon. Chris Assel joins us with a Jags update. And Tony and I look back and forward to the weekend in the wacky world of Radio Newark Sport. But first, a couple of headlines. And Fernwood Sawn Club's Ethan Dakin and Arthur Eakin were competing in the final competition of the year at the Yorkshire League Open in Harrogate. And they come up against each other in the semi-final. And after a close match, Arthur came out on top and in the end collected a bronze medal. Newark Rugby Club have six of their colts in the NLD squad to face Staffordshire at Colville on Sunday. Congratulations to Sam Booth, James Harding, James Brogdon, Will Sayes, Jacob Pearson and Joe Barnes. And Newark Castle Archers, Marty Voth, became the first ever club member to be invited into the county championships. More headlines a little bit later, because we're going straight in to talk to Todd, because he's got to rush off to Sheffield in a very few minutes. So we're very pleased that he's managed to find time to pop in and see us. Todd, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
First of all, I attended the opening. I've been down for the football matches on there. Well done. It's absolutely fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really pleased with it. We've got a lot of bookings, but we also have a lot of availability left on the pitches. So if there are groups of people or clubs or just people who want to play, we have a bookings email and a bookings number as well. If you go on our YMCA Newark and Sherwood website, we've got our two partner clubs, RHP Football Club and Newark Town Football Club. It was really great to see their training evenings when they've got the pitches just full of kids running around playing football. That's really great to see. And, you know, I think Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at the moment are, pretty full, but there's still availability. During the day, I'll just go ahead and mention in the coming months, we'll be creating programming during the day, YMCA programming to run various programs, both football and other sport related on the pitches. So that's really exciting as well. And probably another thing that's really exciting, which you saw, was the track, which is now finished, which is amazing because it was a little bit touch and go, to be honest, because the wind never stops blowing down there ever. Mm. It's really weird. But yeah, it was hurting the ability to put down the actual the track, the actual surface. But we got it down in the end. Charles Lawrence have done a fantastic job. Local company. They've done all the work. They've done the pitches and they've done the parking lots. They've done the track. There's lights there, which, if you go way back to probably a year ago, we were a bit unsure with the athletics club whether we'd be able to get lights on. We've got the lights. As you mentioned earlier, we've got the hammer throw cage, which is compliant for the new UK athletics rules. Plenty of places for people to park. There's more parking going on at Active for today. They're putting in another 85 spaces, I believe. So all in all, on that site, you're looking at, I think, is going to be upwards of sort of 450, 500 car parking spots in total for the whole area. So, yeah, really, really exciting.
The football pitch, to my untrained eye, plays perfect. I've always been against playing football in cages, but you go into this one and there's a walkway around it that's capable of taking probably 5, 6, 7 people deep, with a barrier at the right out to lean on and watch the football. So you may as well be on a grass field, because you've got everything. You're not looking through a cage. So, I mean, criticisms, none. Whatsoever, none.
No,
it's absolutely
good.
Fantastic, mate. And to get it up in the time you've got it up, is credit to the builders.
Yeah, I mean, the builders have been fantastic. We've also had a project manager, Simon Cardwell, who from Pulse Associates, who's worked really hard, and his team at Pulse as well, Tom, Debbie, Larry, they've all been really good. Andrew McAllister from Charles Lawrence has been fantastic. All the team, everybody that he's brought into it. You know, it's been a real team effort. You know, to say we're building sport pitches, it has to be, and it has to be when it comes to a project like this. The reason why there's so much space around those pitches, especially the stadia pitches, to future-proof it. And the whole idea behind it was giving the clubs the capability to move up the steps. So to get promoted, you have to have seating once you get to a certain step. And there is space now to put that in. So, and there will also be further opportunities to apply for funding as well. So if the New York Town, let's just say, in 3 or 4 years' time, managed to make it up to step five, there would be funding there we'd be able to apply for to help put in the seat, you know, and that space around the pitch is there to enable that growth. And that was a hard sell to the Football Foundation, because they wanted two community pitches originally, but we fought really hard, and also having the involvement of everyone at Newark and Sherwood District Council, Kirsty Cole, Roger Blaney, Andy Hardy, and then everybody at Newark Town Council, as well. Alan Miller has been really fantastic in helping out. So, you know, just making sure that everybody knows locally who the main proponents behind this, and obviously all the political leaders have been behind it as well.
It's, moving on, I'm told the reason that adult teams have not been playing down there is it's all about the connection of the water, but that's yes. Sorted, the water's on.
That is.
And very, very soon, i.e. days, the adult football will start on there.
That's right, yeah. We had a few issues with the services from the beginning because they weren't up to the point of the border between the leisure center and the actual land that we took over. So it took a lot of time, and when you're dealing with service providers, it takes a lot of time. But we do have the water now. I've just come from a meeting actually with Dave Roberts and the Newark Town Football Club, several of their board members, and they're planning for their first game to be on December 29th, actually on the Saturday. So we've just been going through all the match day logistics and how all that's going to work down there. So they're really looking forward to that and want to make a really big deal of it and trying to get as many people down there as possible. So that'll be very interesting. RHP as well communicated to Gary Atwood. I think he's talking to his league so that RHP can play their games down there. Changing rooms are all open. The toilets are all open. So, yeah, it'll be really good. Be a lot more weekend football going on once we get the senior teams there.
Stage two is going to be the building. You've told us that when you've been here in
That's
the
right.
past. I would assume, hopefully, springtime, we may see the start of that. You're not going to probably start, you don't start building things in December.
No. I mean, the design is going on and it is achieving its stages at the moment. So we're still shooting for summer 2020 for the building. So it's, it's all still online. And as I said to you before, the other facilities, we're in talks with providers about the cycle track as well and potentially sponsors for that. So there's some conversations ongoing there. I won't mention with who, but there are definite conversations and definite possibilities with that. There's conversations going on with the LTA about the tennis courts. And we've also got the Muggas as well and the skate park. So we're speaking to a couple of different funders about the skate park. We've got some people really interested in that.
Is there... any space and any time for BMX?
There isn't any space at the moment, but I know there's an appetite for it. It's something that we'll just have to see as things develop and as things move along.
On the burner. It's not a no.
Yeah, it's not a complete no, but it's
it's not imminent.
Yeah, the problem we have is the amount of, because we took up playing fields. A certain amount of the playing fields have to remain from an ecology, from a Sport England standpoint, and from a wildlife trust standpoint, acid grassland.
Okay.
So the more stuff we put on there, the more we take away and rob from that. And those are some of our planning conditions that we've got to adhere to.
Great comment.
And while I'm talking about planning, actually, if I could just mention, there's been a bit of antisocial behavior going on over on the new Bridal Way, which is over near the Elm Avenue houses. And we'd like to just mention for people to stay vigilant around there. Make sure you report anything that you see to the police, because we've had some incidents over there of some antisocial behavior going on. And, you know, we want to help the residents out around there as well.
That wants stamping out straight away, doesn't it? Something I like to call YMCA Plus. You're getting more and more involved in Newark away from the sports village. And there's lots of more wonderful things that you're going to tell us about.
Yeah, that's right. We have a childcare site that's actually run at John Hunt Primary School and has been there since last Christmas, really. So it's almost coming up to its year anniversary. It's getting more well attended, but obviously we'd love more people to come there, more kids to come there. We're starting one of our YMCA day camps at Newark Academy. Because we don't have the indoor space at the village, but we're going to use the village, and we're also going to use Active for Today Leisure Center. So we're working with Active for Today really closely on that camp, and we'll be using Newark Academy to base the camp, and we can take bookings now, so people can go on our website and look for that. The other things that we are doing, we have some youth service going on at the moment, which is a program revolving around music in Newark, which we got funded by Youth Music to come and do some work in Newark itself. And we've got about 38 kids on that program, which is really exciting. And the other things that we're going to be developing as we move along are going to take place at the village, and those are our YMCA sports programs. We already do disability football at one of our provisions in Nottingham, and then we'll be moving that across. We do over 50s football. We do walking football. So we're going to start to develop all those programs. So watch this space. I'll probably come back on when we're ready to launch all those programs, just to let everybody know all the different things that we're going to be doing on the site. Also non-football type things, maybe some ultimate frisbee or something like that. You never know.
Brilliant. Todd, you've got a family to go to.
Yes.
Thank you so much for popping in to see
Thanks
us
for having
and
me.
Giving us that update. Come back and see us in the new year when you can sit with us and for the full hour, and we can talk a bit more at leisure. But family's first, and you've got a long way to go.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you very much. From everybody in Newark, it's fantastic. Right. It really is brilliant.
Great. Thank you both.
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
You very
thank
much.
You.
Thanks. So Todd's rushing off back now to his family, and safe journey, Todd. Mr. Smith, it still takes some believing, doesn't it, that what's been achieved from when you used to go and with a shovel on a Sunday morning onto the back pitch at RHP, to what there is now and what there is going to be.
Yeah, it's most of Saturday afternoon as well as Sunday morning, because there wasn't really enough time to do much on Sunday morning, but the repair work that was done on a Saturday afternoon needed touching up, certainly because the dogs and the rabbits had been back. And, you know, I was sitting there the other night, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, watching Flo Sir's first team train with the reserves, actually. It's a combined reserve team and first team training session, sitting in the dugout looking across a perfect playing surface that you alluded to earlier under a magnificent floodlit arena. And I just, you know, I had to pinch myself to think that it was only very, very short space of time ago that it was basically a danger to footballers. It's full of potholes.
I mean, I, like you, and like many, many in this town, said, yeah, okay, we've heard it all before, yeah, righto, it's not going to happen. It is, because it's there. Mm. And what they're doing now, going to the John Hunt and the Newark Academy and taking the YMCA, what they do, to the schools, I think is brilliant.
But I mean,
I'm all for that.
I mean, our scepticism was fair enough, because for a long, long time I was making my weekly sojourn to the shed for a pint and looking out there, and there was no progress being made whatsoever. There were just piles of soil being shifted from one area to another every few weeks. You know, it wasn't a daily basis. And then all of a sudden, bang, It was like it had been, you know, Star Trek, it had been beamed up.
And there we have it. RHP Reserves will play Laxton on Sunday the 9th of December at the Sports Village. So, as far as we know, that's the first adult match being played on there. And if it's anything like the games I've seen with Gary Atwood's lot, it's going to be a cracking. It's an absolute cracking match. So, I'm not sure that Newark Town launching on December the 29th is probably the best day to get a big crowd down there.
No.
And there's another big match going off on the same afternoon, so maybe they ought to think about that one a little bit harder.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear Todd talk about Step 5 football in Newark Town within 3 years, but
Best of luck to them.
They merit all our support.
One would assume Newark Town has a plan, having dismiss the services of Mr. Chappell. One would assume they have a plan, and we wait and see what the plan is.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not party to what the future is at Newark Town. I wish him all the best, and they've got a brand new facility to play on and a fantastic facility, and they'll never have a better chance of making it.
No, it's Newark Town. What Newark Town do have is a group of very, very good people off the field that have got the total interest in Newark Town Football Club at heart, and they're intelligent people who know the way forward, and the football people, and the club is in safe hands. I feel sorry for Dewey. I don't know the insides and outs about, you know, what went off, but obviously an 11-0 defeat is pretty hard to stomach for a board of directors, and you know, they made their decision. But I say there's good people at Newark Town, and I'm sure they'll sort the club out and put them on the right lines.
I think there's a lot more to come out about that, because he wasn't even at the game. He was sorting out the problems with the house, but that's not for us to do. And as you say, Newark Town made a decision, and I would hope, having made the decision, they know what the next step is for the club.
I mean, taking it up to another notch, Southampton have already made inquiries about their future manager, but while Mark Hughes is still in the job. So, I mean, a good board of directors...
That's what I'm saying. I hope they've mapped out where it's going.
A good board of directors, which Newark Town have, will have plans in place before they make any abrupt decisions.
Right. We've got Chris Hassel to come, talking about the wonderful Jags, and we're going to talk to Caroline Upton about why anybody would want to do an 80-mile ultra from the Humber Bridge to 5E is beyond me, but she's going to tell us why she's doing it. We're going to talk about what's coming up this weekend. You've got a piece of paper in your hand. Yes, you've got a story to tell as well.
Yes.
So, Tony's been doing what he used to do. He's been out doing some journalism.
I've been out doing research while lollipopping.
So I'll tell you when it's time to make a cup of tea. But it's not now, because Chris Hassel's coming up in a couple of minutes. It is a well-known fact that this show doesn't have favourite teams, but if Carlsberg did sports teams, they would be called the Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club. I'm absolutely sure of that one. And right at the pinnacle of the Wheelchair Basketball Club, of course, is Mr. Chris Hassel. And Chris joins us every fortnight with an update of what that wonderful club's been up to, and more to the point, what part of the country they're going to next. Chris, good evening.
Good evening, Mick. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm going to leave it to you, because I know the juniors had a league session where they beat Norwich and Aylesbury, so you've got that one to talk about. And what's the seniors been up to?
Yeah, absolutely. So our juniors have started their campaign for this season. Played won two games at home at the Magnus Sports Centre, and they won very comfortably by 30 and 40 points against a team from Aylesbury and then a team from Norwich. So that was a real confidence boost for them, without a shadow of a doubt. So they've now got a bit of a break before I think it's in about 4 or 5 weeks' time, just after Christmas. They will be, if you like, playing again, and that will be a away game. So we've had quite a lot of home games at the Magnus over the last few weeks. And then last week, our senior team, so Jags 1 and Jags 2, played. I think I might have said that they got promoted into National League Division 1 and 2, respectively, this season. So it's been a bit of a tough season so far. So Jags 1 played first, and they got beat 74-43 by a team from Oldham called the Oldham Owls. Very interesting team, coached by a Paralympian that I know, And there were two existing current GB players that were in that team. So despite the fact we got beaten, by an extremely good team. So the guys tried hard, played some good stuff, but it wasn't to be in terms of beating them. And we lost 74-43. And then Jags 2, who play in National League Division 2, play. And they had a really interesting encounter against a team from Lothian. So they come all the way down from halfway between Glasgow and Edinburgh to come and play with us. And they were 34-13 up at half-time. So the first half just was not a good half at all for us. We really didn't, if you like, wake up at the start of the game. But after half-time, things changed dramatically. And we kept on pulling the game back. And in the end, we only beaten by 10. So we beaten 55-45 and we won the second half by about 15 points. So the guys, it was definitely a tale of two halves. And unfortunately, we started running out of time when we got towards the back end of the game. But really, really impressed with how the second team turned that around and got very close to winning at the end of the day. So that's what we've done. In terms of what we're going to do this weekend is the turn of our women. So the Jaguars ladies team start there. Season campaign at Sheffield. They've got two games in Sheffield with many other of the ladies teams, so we're very much looking forward to that. So and that will therefore mean that we've got all of the teams up and running apart from Jags 3. So lots of teams, lots of basketball, and whilst that's going on, there will be training back at the Magna Sports Centre. So we try and keep as much training as going as we can when teams are playing away. Some of our challenges sometimes that our coaches actually play the game as well. So it's sometimes a bit tricky for us to keep everything going, but we will definitely be having two Level 2 coaches at Maynard Sports Centre this Saturday, whilst, as I say, the ladies are playing in Sheffield. So that's where we are.
Absolutely fantastic, and that's why the Jags are one of our favourite clubs. Chris, we'll see you next week, because I know you're appearing at the Sports Awards.
We'll catch up
and have a chat next Wednesday night when you're at Lowfields. So, and that's a debut visit to Lowfields for you.
Yes, absolutely. So that should be fun.
We'll catch you then, and we'll talk again before Christmas.
That's great. Thanks,
Chris. Bye.
Bye.
Chris Hassell there from the Jags wheelchair basketball team. I've got a story. You've got a story. So let's hear yours first.
Well, my lollipopping duties were enhanced, really, by a great gathering across the crossing at from William Gladstone School, all carrying hockey sticks. So when 10 to 4 came and I became a mere mortal once again, I called into the school and said, are you all not playing hockey then? Because you can't because, you see, once a reporter, always a reporter. But basically, I popped in and said, and she said, yeah, they're off to the Magnus. And I said, well, if you give me the details tomorrow morning, as in this morning, just gone, I will tell the whole of Newark on the wonderful, indeed renowned, Radio Newark Sports Show. So William Gladstone went off to the Magnus, where they lost 1-0 to Coddington and lost 2-0 to Long Bennington. And then their year four side played the year six side from Barmby and lost 3-0. The players all acquitted themselves well, including an amazing performance from the goalkeeper, who also plays for Newark Hockey Club, by the name of Lee Dixon. So we've got another Dixon doing Newark Hockey Club proud. And there was also a good contribution to the proceedings from one Reese Crawford. I think everybody will know his dad.
Junior Biscuit.
Because he's the only, his dad is the only bloke I know who's got his tattoo spelt wrong.
Rooney.
So well done, guys.
So well done, William. Well done, William Gladstone, there from your number one fan. There is another story about Tony's lollipopping from this week, which is, it's a beautiful Christmas story. It involves water.
Water?
Yes. You got wet from a lorry.
Oh, yes. Splashback.
Standing there at the side of the road with his lollipop in his hand, and this lorry coming. Problem was, Tony was standing in front of a puddle.
Well, no,
there's nowhere for the lorry to go.
I don't think the problem was with anybody other than the ignorance of the lorry drivers, personally.
He's my new bestest friend.
Mine too.
What a story. Right, let's have a quick look at what happened last weekend before we go on to my little story and talk about what's happening this weekend. And a massive victory for Northlow Serve as they twice come from behind to beat Sherwood Colliery. Two goals for debut boy Bradley Wells. Chris Fuller scored the only goal as Collingham beat Retford United for the third time this season, taking the Villagers to third in the Central Midlands table. Newark Town suffered their worst defeat for 15 years as they went down 11-0 at Renishaw, and 2 days later, they decided they didn't need the manager anymore. RHP Sunday under 15 score 30-3-0 against Highcombe, and Fernwood Sword Club's Arthur Aiken gets a bronze medal in the Yorkshire League. Victories for both our hockey clubs as the first and second men. Oh, shut up, Michael. Play the music.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Deep breath. Try again. Victories for both our hockey clubs as both the men's and the ladies' first teams come back with a win. And I think that's probably about the first time this season that's happened. And finally, Regis Sugden has announced he's leaving the world of kickboxing to follow Big Brother into professional boxing. And that's how a professional would have done it in the allotted time. Right, my little story.
Don't make
me
read it.
Yeah, well, oh, God. Where's all this going to end? Right, my little story takes us up to the northeast with our twin area.
Whitley Bay?
Well, not quite. Gateshead.
Ah.
A lot of people complain about our council round here. A lot of people complained about what the council did on Sunday and the fireworks. I thought it was absolutely fantastic, and I have total applause for that effort that the council put on Saturday afternoon. Sunday afternoon for the lights. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And put both Cranford and Lincoln into total shame. Listen to this one. Sunday League football clubs have slammed council cuts as the final nail in the coffin for local teams after it was announced that funding for sports pitches would be slashed. Furious Gateshead teams have spoken about the effects of the council's decision to axe all maintenance services on playing fields. David Robson, the manager of Division 1 side Gateshead Three Tons, said the cuts would cause the death of Sunday football. Basically, in Gateshead, the council said, sorry, we're saving money, we are not maintaining football pitches anymore. Simple as that. Don't complain about our council, because our council do maintain them.
Well, when you consider what a soccer hotbed the North East is, that is disgraceful.
Yeah, it's that's the only word for it, isn't it? Sunday football's struggling enough. That will.
Well, as we heard from Jacko last night, Sunday sport is struggling. You know, because things have changed in the world. And people have different priorities, but people also have different working days. And, you know, Sunday morning football, Sunday afternoon cricket, it's already fighting a losing battle. But for a council to do something like that, they weren't locking up. That is incredibly rubbish.
It's a shocking decision. And I know, you know, you have to make savings. But that's why you're a council. You're supposed to be clever enough to work these things out.
I mean, there are no words that you can possibly use before 9 o'clock.
To sum that one up.
On a radio station. And I think all the words I could have possibly used have been already used on Newton Street on my way here.
When you went on your parking seminar.
Mm.
Have you said that? What Todd told us about the way that NSDC and Newark Town Council have supported what's going off down there, when it would have been a lot easier for them to say, nah, money's tight. But they haven't. Credit to them, they haven't.
I was going to say we. I mean, certainly I was their biggest critic about what was going on at the so-called sports hub. I'll believe it when I see it, all the rest of it. And it is just, wow. It's unbelievable. But the speed in which it happened, and like I say, it was like sort of you go to bed one night, pull the curtains the following morning, and wow, where the hell did that come from? It is just incredible. We have both been covering Newark Sport for a combined, you know, a combined for at least 430 years. I mean, I've been doing it 30. And, you know, it's just, you know, we have never had it so good.
North Newark Flow Serve, and this weekend they take a rest from their league campaign to play in the third round of the Notts Senior Cup. They're away to Notts Senior League side Stapleford Town. Now, on paper and in Tony's eyes, it's going to be easy. It's a stroll in the park. Me, I looked into it a little bit deeper and find out that one, Stapleford have played 12, won 10, drawn 1, lost 1. Two, they play on the Parks pitch, which these days Flow Serve are not used to. And three, it's about sort of 60 foot by 20 foot. It's very small, and again, which Flow Serve are not used to because they can't use, they won't be able to use the width. I'd got that down, actually, as a potential banana skin, especially in the knowledge that on Tuesday night, Flow Serve had a very important league match away at Belper, and it would make total common sense to say to a lot of the boys, have a Saturday off. But today's news puts a different complexion on all that.
Belper United were supposed to be playing away at Micklover Sports on Tuesday night in the quarter-final of the Derbyshire County Cup. For some unknown reason, presumably the high winds and the...
Well, they had a lot of rain out there. There's a lot of games called off this week that way on.
You know, the weather has caused the postponement of that game. It's now been rearranged for next Tuesday, the coming Tuesday of December the 4th, when we should have been playing a league game at Belper United. So, but now Belper will be travelling to Micklover for the rearranged quarter-final in the Cup. And our match is going to be rearranged for a future date.
I mean, it doesn't really matter. Flow Serve are well up on the games. So it doesn't matter that it's not being played this week. It can sit there until springtime. Yeah. But it does put, I suggest, a different complexion on what is going to be the team for Saturday afternoon.
Well, again, you're really getting into this journalism lap because you did misquote me there by saying I think it's going to be a stroll. But I think it's going to be a really well-contested game. And it's going to be interesting as well that it's kicking off at 1:30 because that might put a different perspective on it for some lads.
Well, if you're working, yeah. I mean, Jamie Lloyd, to start with, is always working on a Sunday or Saturday morning.
Will Roden, our left-back, usually turns up with paint on his elbows. You know, I mean, they're, you know,
so we will see,
full-time
pros. They've got to get out there and they've got to give Stapleford Town, who have all the backing of the Notts FA, a certain amount of respect.
I thought Stapleford Town were actually sponsored by the Notts FA. am I wrong in thinking that?
Well, you're not far wrong, I don't think. So, third round, Notts Senior Cup. So, in the Central Midlands League, Collingham travel to Phoenix, which is basically Rotherham, that sort of area. So, again, they would be expected to win. And the game they've got to win if they've got to keep up the pressure on the top there. Big game in the Central Midlands is Retford United against Claycross Town. Because Claycross, who had a 100% record until last Saturday, when the other Retford side, who I call Retford Rail, because that's what we know them as, went to Claycross, scored two in the first 5 minutes, and then ended up putting five past Claycross. So that's going to be an interesting one to see if the Derbyshire team can bounce. Can bounce back. That's got all the old markers of the game. Newark Town should have been playing Claycross, but for no reason that's Newark Town's fault, that game has gone by the wayside. I think it's probably Newark's played a lot of games and Claycross and Retford. I'm assuming that's the case. I don't know. It's not Newark asking for the day off. I think Newark was quite prepared to play.
I don't think it'll do Newark Town any harm to have a day off at the
time. I think it's worked well for them, hasn't it? Because they can...
Regroup.
They've got to regroup, and they can, and they can regroup. And as I say, I'm watching with interest to see where the Blues go now.
Yeah.
They need somebody in there now who's can bring in players and kickstart that team.
Yeah, I mean it's. When you consider where Newark Flow Serve were when Steve Kirkham first came to the club, it wasn't a lot dissimilar to how the situation is at Newark Town now. They needed somebody to come in who had great contacts within the game, who could build the club up again. And from Flosser's point of view, Kirky obviously moved on, but then came back and joined the new look Flosser set up. And let's hope that Newark Town are fortunate enough to get somebody of that quality that can come in and do a job for them.
Don't think there's two Santas in Newark.
No, but, I mean, we are called Radio Newark, and therefore we send our love and support to Newark Town just as much as we give to Newark Flow Surf, so, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get behind the boys.
Absolutely, and I want to see Todd's prediction, because so far everything that Todd has predicted has come true.
Yep.
So if that's the case, Newark Town's going to play in Step 5 in 3 years' time. And if that is the case, brilliant, because that will be two Newark clubs playing Step 5 in 3 years' time. And that is just going to be, well worth watching. What are you looking like that for?
It'll be Step 4 by then.
Oh, get off. All right, a big local derby in the Notts Youth League, the under-18s. You know we follow them, don't we? Newark Town are playing Farndon Colts on Saturday morning on Devonport, so that's a good one. While Leaders Long Bennington, who came to see us in here, they have the dubious pleasure of travelling to Kimberley.
In their Long Bennington stab vest.
Yes. RHP under-15s on a Saturday entertain Espinel at the aforementioned Sports Village, while on Sunday the under-15s, pretty much the same team, have a day out at Grimsby. They play bottom of the table Grimsby, who haven't got a point yet. So after scoring 30 goals last week, who knows what's going to happen this week? But a day out in Grimsby at the beginning of December, so I'm sure they'll enjoy that. Newark Rugby Club returned to action after having the week off with a tasty-looking home match against the Leaders Melbourne, who have played 8 and won 8.
Not as tasty as the following week.
No, okay, I'll give you that one. This is the problem, isn't it? Everybody's sort of skipping the fact that Newark are playing Melbourne this week because we're all waiting for the following week.
Eat your heart out, Boca Juniors.
You know, don't matter what's happening the following Saturday at all, because all eyes are going to be at Kellam Road, where Newark play Southall at rugby, and it can be any amount of football matches you like that following Saturday. There's only one place I'm going to be. There most certainly is. But first up, a match against it, and it would be nice if they could do something against Melbourne.
Why not? I mean, it all depends, as Rob tells us every Monday night, whether they can keep a settled side together, and we all know how good Newark are when they've got the best lads on the pitch.
Yes. So, but no injuries this week, boys, because we need you for next week.
No injuries this week, there'll be plenty next.
Just, you know. No match for the Ladies Hockey Ones this week. It's their Christmas break, even though they are playing a cup match, I think, against Derby next week. The twos are away to Nottingham Players. The threes are at home to Nottingham University. And the men's ones travel to Mansfield Twos. Or something like that. There's two Newark teams in the division, and there's two Mansfield teams in the division, and I'll never, for the life of me, manage to work that one out. But apparently last week they beat the poor Mansfield side, and now they're playing the good Mansfield side. I think that's what Paul said. It was something like that. It confused me. Our runners are out in force this weekend, and that's where we're going in a few minutes to try and catch Caroline Upton. It's the Skegness 10K. And it's the Edwinstowe 10K.
That sounds
horrible. So take your pick between the two of them. Well, can you remember what Graham was telling us?
Yeah.
On
round a caravan park.
Round a caravan park.
You don't even see the sea.
So you're going all the way to Skegge.
No,
and you don't see the sea. You just see the caravans.
Yeah. I mean, when you get to Skegge,
you can go down to the leisure centre car park most weekends for that.
When you get to Skegge the first week in December, the sea's not much anyway, but it beats the hell out of the interior of a caravan park.
So if you fancy a run round a caravan park, go to Skegge. If you fancy a run round Sherwood Forest, go to Edwinstowe. I think I'll go to Edwinstowe.
Or if you're going to Skegness and you fancy a pub crawl, just give us a ring.
For Newark Athletic Club, it's the North Midlands Cross Country at Shipley Park in Heena. Probably going to be cross country weather as well. And believe it or not, the entries open on Saturday for the 2019 Newark
half marathon.
So but, let's not bother about Christmas at all.
It was a lot milder today, though, wasn't it?
And move swiftly on, as they say. That strikes me as another fairly busy weekend of sport.
Yeah.
I'm unavailable all day, but I think I would have ended up at the rugby club because New against Melbourne sounds a little bit tasty. I know where you'll be going.
Yes. I'm off to Stapleford with a very, very good...
It's on my list of grounds that you need to go to once.
Have you been?
No.
No?
No.
Well,
Stapleford's only just come up through the ranks, really, so they've never been at the top level of Nottinghamshire football. This is their highest season.
Yeah, it sounds like an easy game on paper, but unfortunately you play on grass.
I'm not sure it sounds like an easy game on paper, to be perfectly honest. We'll find out. Right, let's see now if we can find Caroline Upton, because what she did last weekend was stunning. Absolutely stunning. The Hardwalds 80 over the weekend, an 80-mile ultramarathon along the Wolds Way, starting at the Humber Bridge and ending in Filey. A total time of 22 hours, 29 minutes and 45 seconds. And if she's recovered, she's going to tell us all about it. We're now going to talk to a young lady. We've made attempts in the past to actually get onto this radio station. It's never really happened. So I'm very, very pleased to welcome Caroline Upton to Radio New at Sport. Caroline, good evening.
Hi. Hey, thank you. Good to talk to you.
We talked all through what everybody did last weekend and some stunning local performances. They all pale into insignificance with the Hardwalds 80. tell me, the first thing that Tony wants to know is, did you run over the Humber Bridge?
We started under the Humber Bridge. It starts at Heslop and then you go up to Filey, so we didn't run over it. We started underneath it, so, yeah.
Okay, so that's his technical question out of the way.
That was very technical.
Tell me about the weekend and what it actually entails. I'm going to sit back and listen to this.
Right. Well, it entails on Friday night driving up and stopping in Filey, because it's a linear route, and then there's a bus that leaves very early on Saturday morning. So all the runners kind of came out of the dark and got on this bus to the start down in Hessel. And then 8 o'clock in the morning, they set us all off from under the Humber Bridge, and we had 24 hours to cover the Wolds Way, which is an 80-mile route, and finishing at Filey. So basically, off we went. We had about 5 or 6 checkpoints on the way that you had to go through just to show you were on track, and that was it, really. We just had to try and pace ourselves and get to the finish in a reasonable state of health and within the 24 hours.
Because the Wolds Way, then, I mean... Oh, the Humber Bridge to Filey is not 80 miles, so obviously you go a fair way inland.
Yeah, it's a national trail. It's a recognised route, so it's mainly off-road, and it's a walking trail. So, yeah, you go through all different little villages and, you know, sections between those, and we went through Warren Percy, one of the deserted villages at one point. And so, yeah, you're following this national trail, So by the time you get to the finish, it was actually slightly over 80 miles at Filey, according to my Garmin, but hey, we'll give them a couple of miles extra, that was fine.
The obvious questions that everybody's going to ask, food, sleep and nature.
Sleep, no, because there really isn't time and you just keep going. It's dark from 4 o'clock in the afternoon anyway, pretty much, so... You know, whether it's 5 in the afternoon or 5 in the morning, you just kind of get into the rhythm and you just keep going. Food, I carried a bit myself, but the checkpoints had sort of different levels of food. Some just had, like, you know, nuts and bits of flapjack and, you know, that sort of thing. A couple of big checkpoints where you could actually go into a village hall and get some soup or something a bit more substantial. Nature, the less said about them, that was the best of
them. Okay. Right, so we can work that one out for ourselves then.
Yeah.
This is something that, I suppose it's not the first time you've done it.
It's the first time I've done this route, but yeah, it's not the first time I've done this kind of distance, no. Yeah.
How does the body how do you acclimatise your body to do it, and how long afterwards before you start feeling normal again?
In terms of the sort of training for it, it's a lot of long, slow runs. So to train for it, I'd be out at a weekend and do maybe like a 4 or 5 hour run, but it's at a really slow pace. So you're not sort of cracking out 7 minute miles or anything. You're going, you're training your body to kind of burn fat efficiently. So it's always at what you like what we call zone two. So it's, you know, you're making more of an effort than if you're just walking, but you're not pushing yourself hard. It's about the stamina and yeah, your body adjusts to it. And then when you're doing the actual event, when you're doing sort of 80 miles or 80 miles plus, I mean, everybody, I think, apart from the super elite, is going to walk on the uphills, because if you're doing that kind of distance, you're not going to run every step. So you walk on the uphills and then you run on the other sections. And yeah, it's amazing. Your body just kind of adjusts to it. Your body, and you know, anybody can do it if they just do the right sort of training and, you know, are daft enough to give it a go, really, I guess.
Daft enough to give it a go. What, yeah. What's the next outing in the diary then?
I've got parkrun on Saturday.
Well, that's a mere sort of breeze, that one. What's the
next long one? I've not got another long one scheduled in yet. I'll think about something and get something in the new year. Because part of the reason for doing the one I just did was to try and get the last few points for trying to get into the UTMB next year. So if I get in for that, then I'll be training for that.
Okay,
so,
help me out a bit. UTMB.
So UTMB, the Ultra Tour de Mont Blanc, which is a bonkers 100-mile circuit around Mont Blanc. And to do that, you've got to get points by qualifying by doing certain races in the UK. So this Hardwells one, I got 5 points, and now I've got enough points to try and qualify to get in to the UTMB. So
that's the 2019 goal, is it?
That's the goal for 2019, yes.
And when is it?
It's in August. I don't know the exact date, but I've got the points now to get in the lottery, but it is a lottery, so I might not even get a place now, but hopefully, fingers crossed.
Well, we'll see. Let us know. Please let us know.
I will.
We do want to follow you all the way to that. brilliantly fantastic. You are definitely our star of the week.
Well, bless you. Definitely. Thank you. That's very kind.
Caroline, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I struggle to drive that far.
There's only one T in star. There's two in nutter.
I would never dream of doing that, but it's sheer admiration that somebody can do that to me.
I have done 80 miles from Humber Bridge to Farley in the past, but it's only because Lucy had the map.
Oh, she's... It's something different. That sort of thing is just... I know we're here, you know, somebody, oh, well, it's not sport, it's walking, but it is sport, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It is sport.
It is a tremendous achievement. I mean, the idea of running 100 miles around Mont Blanc, wow. You know, I mean, if your body's capable, why not? That'd be terrific, although it'd be a bit blooming hot in August, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it? I mean, you can't even drive down Newton Street. Anyway, Caroline, you're definitely the Radio Newark Sport Star of the Week. no, sir. Next week, Tony, we're packing our bags and...
Yes, we're
and
on the
leaving
road.
The cosiness of...
Yeah.
...of Sport HQ. We're going to Southwell Leisure Centre on Tuesday, assuming we can find Southwell Leisure Centre, where you're going to explain why you're hoping Newark Rugby Club beats Southwell Rugby Club. On Wednesday night...
Tuesday... Oh, I'm doing my hair, sorry.
On Wednesday night, we're at Lowfields, where you can explain why you wish that Newark Town are going to be step four in 3 years' time. And
again, misquoting.
And on Thursday night, we're at the Rugby Club, where you're going to explain why you thought Southall would pull off a shock in the local derby on Saturday. But seriously, we are out at the Leisure Centre.
Yeah.
We're out at Lowfields and we're out at Lubbock. And the reason we're out there is it's the Sports Awards week. A year on already from when we was all in tears last year at
different stories, and I'm sure this year, potentially, it's going to be the same again.
I was very disappointed to find out I was going to be missing out on the Tuesday of the Sports Award Week because of my footballing commitments with Newark Flow Serve at Belper. So this morning it was with mixed feelings that I got the news that our match at Belper on Tuesday is off, and so I can now commit myself fully to the complete week, because it is. It's the Newark, it's the Radio Newark Sports Show highlight of the year, isn't it?
Oh, most certainly. And
because, you know, it is absolutely fantastic. I mean, we sit here for Monday to Thursday all year, apart from when you go, you know, sort of missionary working down in Cornwall. And like, sort of, you know, but the...
Very droll.
but the actual, you know, highlight is that period of time where we go, actually, we go meet the people as opposed to just talk to them.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. As long as you've not upset any of them, we'll be all right. But I say there's going to be tears. There always is. And this year, we particularly on Tuesday night remember Sam White, and on Thursday night we remember Rick Lane, youngsters that's been taken from us. And that's why I say there's going to be tears, because we remember those and we're honouring those in a couple of the awards.
Yeah, they'll be all the more special because of that. And but how wonderful that the awards have been named after two of the good guys. You know, I mean, there's plenty of nutters in sport that, you know, you fall out with, even more than on the Newton Street on a Thursday night, whatever it is. But I mean, it's just two of the real good guys of local sport. I played golf at the Orchards Golf Club with Sam and his dad, Mike. And, you know, Sam was loved by everybody, not only at the Orchards Golf Club, but by so many people of all ages across local sport. And, you know, the Rick Lane, you know, we've said so many words about Rick. And hopefully over the years we'll say many more about one of life's good guys, not just one of sport's good guys.
So we look forward to the next 3 days. And then, Tony, we've only got a couple of weeks until Christmas, would you believe?
I know.
I've got some treats for you already lined up.
Me?
Well, I know how you like certain shows, and I've got some treats lined up for you.
I love everybody.
And for our listeners. There's still a couple of gaps I'm waiting to see. But in those 2 weeks, these are some of the people that are coming into this studio. Mark Dobbs coming over from Mansfield.
Never liked him.
To talk to about, what is it? Oh, I know, Newark Rugby Girls.
You've mentioned them, haven't you, in the past?
Eric and Billy Coombs are coming in to this studio to reminisce about football, and that's what you enjoy doing.
You better not make it a football night.
That's what you enjoy doing, reminiscing about football. Stacey Atkins is coming back to talk about the Bolton Ironman when she overcome everything to complete it. She's coming back to talk about that. Two of Bananarama are booked. Sarah and Catherine are coming back to talk about their charities.
Yeah.
Hopefully, a sports show debut for the new lady in charge at the Children's Bereavement Centre. I'm leaving you
I've spoken to my good wife, and we've tried to arrange a phone number.
Okay, and the last show of the year, Megan Williams. Bye-bye.